Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Radio Networks on Saturday, May 3rd, 2014. This is episode 1079. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by Full Sail University. Full Sail offers both online and campus degree programs centered on real-world experience in the entertainment, media, and technology industries. For more information, visit fullsail.edu/techguy. And by LegalZoom. Visit LegalZoom.com to save on your legal needs and gain access to a network of Legal Plan attorneys for guidance. LegalZoom's not a law firm, but provides self-help services at your specific direction. Visit LegalZoom.com and use the offer code TECHGUY to receive $10 off at checkout. And by NatureBox, where you can order great-tasting, healthy snacks delivered right to your door. Forget the vending machine. Get in shape with healthy, delicious treats like blueberry almond bites. Oh, these are good. To get 50% off your first box, go to naturebox.com/twit. That's naturebox.com/twit. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. And it's time to say hello to your favorite technologies, computers, the internet, smartphones, home theater, all that jazz. You got a question? You got a thought? Some brilliant idea you'd like to share with the world? 8888-ASK-LEO is the phone number, 888-827-5536. Toll free from anywhere in the U.S. of A or Canada. Outside of those two, you can always call Collect. No. You can always use Skype because it's a free number, a free call, so Skype would make it free. And even if you're calling from overseas. The lovely and talented and dressed all in white today, Phone Ranger, Heather Hammann. Good morning, Heather.
Good morning.
Good morning, Vietnam. whoa. I guess my computer woke up, too. Good morning, computer. And my iPad's showing a black apple. There must be something going on. I walk in, and all of a sudden, all the systems start. They think they know somehow.
Do you have a magnetic strip?
I have a magnetic personality. Thank you for the opening there. Maybe they were updating. You know, that's very important when you have a system, to keep it up to date. And always apply those patches. Of course, if you're using Windows XP, no patches free. Wait a minute. I take it back. So did Microsoft. So this week there was, as we had feared, we were waiting for, the zero-day exploit. The bug for Windows XP that would make it suddenly unsafe to use. Remember that it was the second Tuesday of April, April 8th, I think it was, that Microsoft shipped its last fix for Windows XP and said, never again. Then the bad guys found a flaw, pretty bad one, in Internet Explorer. Internet Explorer is the browser that comes with Windows XP. We did tell people, and I have been telling people, if you must use XP, it is possible, I believe, to use it, at least for now, safely. But don't use Internet Explorer, whatever you do. The latest version on XP is 8, which is 3 versions behind. So that's problem numero uno. But then also, of course, there are choices, good news. You can use Chrome. I don't like Explorer anyway. I think it's been a source of problems all along. Well, look, all of a sudden, a zero-day... You know what a zero-day flaw is? A zero-day flaw is one that, as soon as it is learned, as soon as it is revealed to the world, this flaw, already hackers are using it to attack computers. So it's about as serious as you can get. It's a hole in a hole in your operating system that allows bad guys in. The flaw affects Internet Explorer 6 through 11. And of course, Microsoft immediately patched Windows Vista, Windows 7, Windows 8, and said neener, neener, neener to Windows XP users, except they backed down. They backed down. Nobody thought that. We all said, oh, no, no, that's it on XP. They really don't want you to use XP. No. Even though Windows XP users aren't supposed to get these fixes anymore, Microsoft made an exception and pushed out a fix saying, quote, the security of our products is something we take incredibly seriously. When we saw the first reports about this vulnerability, we decided to fix it fast, and, underscore this part, fix it for all our customers. That's Adrian Hall of Microsoft's Trustworthy Computing. They remind everyone, don't worry, no, you're not, we're never going to. You see, once a parent says to their child, all right, just this once, it's over. I know, it's over. Because then the kid goes, yeah, mom and dad gave in. This technique works. Somebody in the chat room says, that's not an exception. It's not a patch for the XP operating system. No, it's an exception. Yeah, no, it is. It absolutely is an exception. And initially, they were not going to ship it out. I don't know whether they'll make further exceptions or not. I think there's intense pressure. You see, if there's a flaw in an operating system, and you can't say that Internet Explorer is separate from the operating system. You really can't. It's deeply ingrained. If there's a, and that's what Microsoft said during the trial, remember? 1998. Can't take it out. If there's a flaw that then means bad guys can get into users' computers and then attack other computers on the internet, I think Microsoft's kind of liable. I think they kind of feel like, gee, you know, if we don't do anything, are we going to get sued? Are we going to get in trouble? Aren't we kind of liable for that? So they fix it. I'm not saying you should wait for another fix. No, no, no. But I think they did the right thing here. And I would point out that so far you can continue to use XP if and only if you do the following. Don't use IE. Use Chrome. They're keeping that up to date, Google says, until 2015. Make sure you don't run as an administrator. Run as a limited user. And be really, you know, careful because you're using a dangerous, potentially dangerous operating system. You'd be better off upgrading, buying a new computer. It's time. It's 13 years old. It's time. But if you don't want to, well, I understand. I understand. And you don't, and you probably, even though people have said, Leo, you're irresponsible, you probably can get away with it. And it's probably okay. I understand. There's good reasons why people would want to stick with XP. And if those good reasons mean, you know, for instance, you have software that just doesn't run on anything else. You need to use XP. You can't afford to upgrade. I mean, I don't want to make people spend money if they can't afford it. You got a perfectly good. The hardware works. Now, there are other solutions. You could put Ubuntu Linux on there. Ubuntu.com and so forth. But I understand that. I'm not going to say you have to spend the money. I'm not going to say that. And it is possible, to use it safely. But keep an eye out, because there might be another one. And this time, Microsoft may not throw you a life preserver. If you were a CEO of a computer company and you violated antitrust law by saying, we're going to make a deal with other companies not to poach their employees. If you backdated stock options so that to your benefit in violation of the Securities and Exchange Commission, you know, something that other executives were charged with and some went to jail for. If you broke some laws, bent some laws, if you rented a new car every 6 months so you never had to get a license plate on it. Eventually, people would say, you're kind of a slippery fellow. You're maybe a little bit of a shady CEO, unless you're Steve Jobs, who did all of that and is considered a tech hero, a legend. New York Times has an article today. Steve Jobs, actually it was yesterday, defied the law convention and perhaps the law. They talked to a professor at the University of Iowa College of Law, an expert in antitrust law. He says, quote, I am astounded by the risks Jobs seemed willing to take.
I never read that in any trust law. What is it?
The backdating scandal. Yeah, you know, you could say, well, maybe he bent the law. Maybe he didn't know. So forth and so on. And now, of course, we've seen the results. The jury's come in now on the Samsung versus Apple anti-patent lawsuit. It's a great book called Dogfight about Google versus Apple. And at the end, it pretty much concludes that Jobs perfectly well knew that those patents weren't all his own. Slide to Unlock had been patented a year before by another company. Didn't matter. He was going to use them anyway. Jobs, is he a hero or... did he just escape? Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Where are you from, sir?
Redondo Beach, California.
And you're up here on vacation?
My wife's up here for a Stanford reunion.
Awesome, and you get to take advantage of that.
Exactly.
Perfect. Good on you. Sounds like fun. Was she an undergraduate or graduate student?
MBA.
Oh, awesome. That's a good place to get an MBA.
That's been very good for her.
Yes, I bet. And what do you do?
I'm an electrical engineer.
Cool.
I design computers for spacecraft.
Oh, do you work at JPL or somewhere down there?
Aerospace Corporation.
You design computers for spacecraft. Wowie zowie. What spacecraft? What kind of spacecraft? That's neat. Wow, that's so neat. On the shuttle, huh? Is business slowing down?
Yes.
seems like there's not a lot of new spacecraft being designed. Oh, there's X-1. There's all the citizen space stuff.
Orion SpaceX.
Orion. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888, asked Leo, yeah, the Samsung-Apple verdict came in. That was fast. This time, the jury deliberated for 3 days instead of just one day. The previous jury... So there have been two now Apple-Samsung lawsuits. The first was over what they call trade dress, the look and feel. And the jury awarded, after a mere less than a day of deliberation, awarded Samsung Apple $1-plus billion, saying, Samsung stole it. They stole it all. This time, the jury not quite so generous. In fact, they even give Samsung a little money. They gave Apple somewhere around $100 million, $115. What's a millionaire here or there? And then they gave a few hundred thousand to a Samsung, saying, well, you know, it's a two-way street. That's kind of a moral victory for Samsung, because Apple said, Samsung steals everything. And it's not $1 billion, so that's good. The jury has to go back to work, though, I think on Monday, because the Apple lawyer said, wait a minute, they made a mistake here. Don't think that'll change it substantively. I feel like, you know, my eyes were open. The scales have fallen from my eyes because I read this book. Fred Vogelstein, who's a good, really good writer at Wired and covers all this stuff, wrote a book called Dogfight, kind of the history of the Apple-Google wars. They were best of friends for a while, and then things went south. But he says towards the end of the book, you know, Apple knew that the patent lawsuits were somewhat without merit, as are often all patent lawsuits. They really end up being more about who can shut the other guy down, who can convince a jury. But they felt like, hey, you know, we have the laws is there to be used, and I've always felt like it was kind of an anti-competitive thing, not a you stole from us thing, but. You're doing too well. You better stop kind of thing. Because after all, it is Samsung, I think, that is whipping Apple now in the marketplace. The Galaxy phones are beating the iPhone pretty handily in the United States. So it really has to do, I think, more with, has a lot to do with more with like, well, you know, because they're not going after the little guys. They're a little bit, but not so much. They have sued Motorola and HTC. Haven't sued Google. And it's all over these patents. By the way, my son said when I visited him last week, said, yeah, and I hear Samsung paid Apple in nickels just to get them back. No, that's not true. That's an urban legend. Although not a bad idea. You hear this every once in a while, these come up. I don't think Apple will take nickels. I have to say, I'm not a big fan of the Samsung phones particularly, but they do sell very well, probably because Samsung spends millions, no, I'm sorry, billions, with a B, every year in marketing. A huge amount of money. Those ads work. They convince people to buy the phones. There are other phones I prefer. I like the HTC One. If you're looking for an Android phone, the Motorola X is fabulous. Both are cleaner, simpler, have less junk. Samsung seems to pile it on. Like HP used to do. Remember in the desktop computer days, you get megabytes of trial wear and garbage, stuff that you didn't want and you couldn't remove. Samsung's fallen into that trap. I love the HTC One, the new one, the M8. Fabulous. Fairly clean. It is does have some of HTC Sense on it, but it's not bad. And the Motorola X, even better. And you can get Google editions of the Samsung phones, if you wish, from Google directly at the Play Store. So there are some choices to get away from that junkware. 8888 Ask Leo. I'm sorry, I'm just gassing on. Let's get a phone call. What do you say? Dennis is first in San Diego. Hello, Dennis. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi there. Hey. I listen to your show all the time, and I don't know anything at all about computers.
Okay. Well, then you'll learn if you just listen. You'll absorb it.
Anyway, my question this morning is really simple. I was using my antiquated XP, which is the only computer I've got. I received a message from Microsoft that said that in 20 minutes it required an update to automatic update and restart the computer.
You didn't think you'd see one of those again, did you?
No. So anyway, I waited for the little green bar to run, and then it all shut down. And for the last hour, I'm looking at a Windows, and Windows is shutting down screen.
Yeah.
Now what?
Oh, you can turn it off. Waiting an hour, I think, is prudent. You don't want to interrupt it, and maybe this is a more complicated thing than you wanted it to be. The problem is that machine is, what, 10 years old?
I have no idea. It's probably older than that.
Yeah, XP's 13 years old, so it could be anywhere from maybe 8 to 13 years. So what happens as you use a machine, it gets out of, you know, you add stuff, you change stuff, you modify stuff. It resembles less and less the machine you took home from the store. Of course, that's normal. You're customizing it. But as that happens, it makes the automatic installers, just a little bit perturbed, perhaps. I always think of installing updates in place, you know, without a fresh install, as something like removing the tablecloth with the glassware on it. You can do that, and then putting another tablecloth back in. That's hard. It's kind of amazing. On the other hand, I think these updates, they do a fairly good job, and this one is particularly important. So after waiting an hour, that's enough to wait. I think you can manually shut it down. You know how to do that? You just press and hold the off button until it turns off. And that'll let it, you know, it might take 5 seconds.
Okay. Well, no, I already have all kinds of suspicions. You just rambled through the fact that the average person brings one home from the store and after many, many years loads it up with everything. I find it hysterical. From my position, it's hysterically funny because I've only touched a computer in my entire life for about the last 2 years.
Oh.
And this is a stripped, rebuilt yard sale.
Oh, dear.
I don't know when it came from a store, but it came across the Mexican border. And I had a heck of a time. I'm single lingual, and I had a heck of a time. Just changing it over to speak English.
It was in Spanish. Wow.
And I finally got it into English mode.
Good.
And I don't have anything on it except Microsoft, and it came with Avast.
Okay. Avast might be Avast, which is a good antivirus. It's a free antivirus. Might in fact be something's blocking that it finished. And you know, I've seen this happen. It's not unusual.
So I just, here's what you do. You press and hold. You let it, you turn it off. In other words, it didn't finish. Yeah. You wait a few seconds, then you turn it back on again. And it should complete the installation. And you should be able to, let me see what version it will report. This is the only question. I'm not sure after the XP. It's this thing I was talking about at the beginning of the show. Microsoft said they weren't going to update it anymore. Have you been installing updates all along?
It was set on automatic. It's been doing it automatically.
Good.
The last time it did it was the beginning of last month that I was aware of.
Yes, exactly right. So they gave you another one, just a freebie. I would turn it off, turn it on. Everything should be okay. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Cheryl is on the line from Orange County, our next caller. Hi, Cheryl. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
I bought an Inspiron, my second Dell.
Yes.
And I went for the 8.1 upgrade because, as you know, it didn't have an on-off switch.
You know.
Well, I know. I've listened to you all the time.
It's fine. 8.1 really does solve a lot of the initial problems I had with 8.
Well, I found out after about an eight-month struggle, I found out through HP as well as Microsoft there were some corruptive files.
Well, that's not your fault or Windows' fault. That's HP's fault.
And I went back to Dell and gave them the exact information, the exact place, and now please fix it. And they hit me with, and it's still under warranty, and they hit me with a $300, to upgrade to their coverage plan. And I'm still covered with another company that set up my computer and, for a few more months. So I said, this just doesn't feel right.
How did you sign up for the company that covers your computer? Who's that?
Well, it was the installer, Office Depot, and then they offered a follow-up coverage.
Guess who's now responsible for the corrupted files?
I thought about that.
No, they are.
My husband, maybe we need to try with them. But
yes, you do.
He said, yes, we do.
That's why Dell won't touch it, because Dell says, well, wait a minute, it's not our fault. We gave you a good computer, and now these guys from Office Depot came along and screwed it up. It's not our fault.
No, I've never called them. Leo, I've never had them touch the computer.
Well, how did they set it up?
Well, all they did when I had it,
You bought it at Office Depot, and then for an additional $50, we'll...
And they put my desktop on, and they transferred my data from the old Dell to the new Dell. And then they kind of gave me a little bit of wherewithal, how to operate it.
Oh, that's good.
I do remember saying, how do you turn it off? And they said, you hit the half moon. And that was about it. He walked out the door.
Goodbye.
Yeah, I know. So when I heard about 8.1 and we called Dell, then that's when we opted for it. But then I found out that there's these corrupted files. And see, what I think they're afraid of is they told me that they would probably have to take 8.1 off and then reinstall it.
Well, did it come with, I'm sure it did, restore or recovery disks?
No.
Didn't come with any disks at all?
No, they asked me the same thing. Terry, they're asking about disks.
Yeah, so maybe the Office Depot guy kept them. I don't know. But you should have, if not that, then there should have been an instruction when you first turn on the computer to make the disks. Did you see that at all? Well, you could still probably do it.
No, I don't recall anything.
So,
I'm not real techie either, I'll be honest.
Actually, do they do that? You know, it may be an 8.0 now, because it has its own recovery routine. Maybe they don't make the disk. So the way almost all 8, as far as all I know, every 8, Windows 8 computer comes with a hidden part of the disk, they call it a partition, that has the Windows 8 install stuff on it. And there is a way to recreate or reboot the computer. What you're going to want to do is, I think, and you can do this yourself. You don't need to pay anybody to do it, is back up your data. Have you been? You got a lot of data on the computer? You got a lot of stuff on there?
Pictures, and I can't send a darn thing.
Yeah, we'll fix that. Well, how do you know it's corrupt?
Okay, when Microsoft went through it and Dell went through it, what we were trying to figure out is we thought it was a scanning problem from the new ProJet from HP, and we thought we were going to need to return it. And so actually this problem was found just sort of incidentally. And then Microsoft confirmed it too.
It's not that incidental. The thing doesn't work.
Well,
why doesn't it work? Well, it's corrupted. It's messed up.
Let's see, it says Windows Resource Protection found corrupt files but was unable to fix some of them. Details are included in the cbs.log winder, it looks like, /.
Well, I'm going to give you a couple of things to do, okay?
Okay.
We're going to first start. Windows 8 has this refresh command, which is really good, and they did it because this is not unusual. It sounds like refresh had a problem, but we're going to try to do it anyway. So the first refresh you can do doesn't, in fact, affect any of your data. It just
that thing on my modem. I do that a lot.
No. It's not on your modem. It's on.
Okay.
It's on Windows 8. So, what you're going to do is go to Change PC Settings. You know, you swipe in. I hate this. I wish there were a way to do this without having to say swipe in. You swipe in from the right edge of your screen. You know that the it's called the charms menu. You know, you get that menu on the right. That's another way to turn it off.
Yeah. I've seen those things.
So do you have a touch computer?
Well, I don't know. Exactly.
Can you touch the screen?
What do you mean by touch computer?
Can you touch the screen on? Can you do?
Yeah, you do that sometimes, and it does all kinds of weird things. I usually do it by accident.
Okay.
I don't like it.
Darn it. So swipe in. So you're going to swipe your finger. You can also move the mouse in the lower right-hand corner, but you want to get that little charms thing to show up, okay?
Okay, a charms thing.
And then there's going to be a little gear that says settings.
Yeah, okay, settings.
Tap that, and then tap change PC settings.
Ooh, you're getting complicated.
Well, I'm just reading you the instructions from Microsoft. This is ridiculous. So, okay. Or if you're using a mouse, point to the upper right. This is why I hate Windows 8. Or if you're using a mouse, point to the upper right corner of the screen, move the mouse pointer down, click settings, then change PC settings. But what you're going to do is in the PC settings, there's something called update and recovery. And this is, we're going to recover. So you're going to click recovery, and now there's several settings. The first one I would try is refresh your PC without affecting your files. It literally says refresh your PC without affecting your files.
Okay.
What that's going to do is go through all of the system files and see if it can fix the corrupted ones. I think it should.
See, they tell you, Leo, matter of fact, you cannot have cloud, you know. Once you have 8.1, you can't have those things. So about the only thing you can do is an external backup. Because I pressed it one day. You know, it has a 30-day thing for free. And I had done it with the old system. And then it wanted to, do it again, I guess, as soon as they updated it. And they said, don't ever do that. And the worst thing you can do is hit the black one, whatever. I've never seen a black one. But they say you can't update. I mean, you can't do the cloud. Don't ever do it. They say you have to have an external drive to back up. So it pops up periodically, the cloud, and I don't touch it. I just did the once, and I had to call them on that one, too.
Well, I think probably, since you did pay Office Depot for support, right?
Yeah, and I was considering calling them.
I can walk you through this. It isn't too complicated. It doesn't have anything to do with the cloud. But I think it'd be better if they did it, since you paid them already. Why don't you bring it over to them and say, here, clonk, it's corrupt. It was corrupt from the day I brought it home from you. Can you fix this, please?
Well, it was Dell, you know, that...
And you know what, next, what do you do with your computer?
Well, with the 8.7,
What would you like to do with your computer?
I would like to do more than just add pictures.
Okay.
That I can do nothing with. I can't send them,
I understand. Get an iPad, seriously. This is too complicated for you. This is too.
Uses it for bills.
Yeah, you can do that too, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. This is too complicated for you. It's too complicated. It's like you have a Ferrari, and you really just need a bicycle. It's too much. And it's, you know, I feel bad because these guys are really just giving you the runaround. But the problem is they're saying things like don't do the cloud. But I don't know what they're trying to tell you. But so there should be nothing on the computer that they say, don't, whatever you do, don't press that button. There's nothing on the computer that that should be true of. So I don't know who's telling you that. This is exactly, Marmot saying in the chat room, this is what normal people go through with computers. This is exactly right. We're giving you these power tools that are insanely complicated. And we're saying, oh, no, this is for regular people. This is normal. And then Microsoft absolutely confused the heck. You were fine with Windows 7. They absolutely confused the heck out of everybody. I said, well, she doesn't even know how to turn the computer off. She doesn't even know how to turn the computer off. She presses the half moon key when she sleeps it. She literally can't turn her computer off. Thank you, Microsoft. By the way, that's one thing they fixed in the update. They put an on-off switch on the screen. That's why the iPad is such a big seller. It will do all the things you want to do. You do not need a power tool. You need a simple update. Simple computer that can do all the things you want. Oh, I mean, I just feel for you, but there's just no way this is going to work out well for you if you're trying to do this yourself. It's just going to get worse. I think you would know how to turn off an Apple computer. You go to the Apple menu and you select shut down. But the idea that you have to, there's a hidden menu on Windows 8. It's the charms bar. And you have to figure out how to get that to slide over, which is what I was trying to describe. You swipe in or you move your mouse to the corner. Then, even then, it is nowhere that says turn off the computer. You have to know to, I can't even remember what it looks like. You have to know to check one thing and then click the bottom, whatever that bottom button is. And then there's a bunch of choice. It's just not obvious. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, feels so bad for our last caller. And I think most people are like that, frankly. We sell them a bill of goods. The industry really doesn't do them any favors. It's easy to use. Anybody can use it. The computer for the rest of us, all of that. And Mac or PC, most times it's way more than you need and it's way too complicated. And then what happens is what happened to our previous caller, which is you start down the bunny hole and you start doing things to fix it. But those things make it worse and worse, and then it doesn't do this and it doesn't do that. And most people, check to see if this is you, just put up with it. In fact, I think what a lot of geeks and enthusiasts don't realize is that we just put up with stuff that doesn't work all the time. You know, it doesn't work. Oh, yeah, you can't. In order to print, you got to remember, you've got to turn off this device, plug in that device, and unplug that device, and then it'll print just fine. And then you just do it every time. So what we do is we forget that, in fact, we have similar problems. We were used to it. And normal people just, it's like, what? What? So I think we need to readjust our expectations. And by the way, this is why tablets sell so well. I shouldn't even say tablets. iPads sell so well. Because there's none of that. Now, real enthusiasts look at an iPad and go, oh, that's so primitive. I can hardly do anything. All I could do is surf, get email. What good is that? Look at pictures. What good is that? That's all anybody wants to do. If you want to, you know, program computers, if you want to hack the operating system, if you want to edit video, there are, you know, get a computer. But for most people, you know, the tablet's just fine. And frankly, I think an iPad is the way to go. It's very simple. It doesn't even have access to a file system. You just don't, these issues don't come up. And now she said she wanted to do her photos. Now that might be a little bit tricky. There's a camera connection kit that will allow you to connect the camera and import the pictures, and then it'll be an iPhoto, which comes with the iPad. And after that, it's pretty straightforward. Email's very straightforward. paying the bills? I don't know. Do people... I get, it depends how you pay the bills. If you do it on the web, it'll work just fine on an iPad. Maybe a Chromebook would be a good choice. That might be another choice. If you want to live in the Google world, a Chromebook might be a good choice. It's very simple, very straightforward. And if it gets corrupted, you press this button that says Power Wash. And it just starts over. You log into your Google account, and because almost everything you do is in your Google account, it just starts up, and then, yes, everything's here, and you keep going. The computer industry understands this stuff is too hard. And for a long time, we said, oh, anybody can use it. You know, just get a computer, your life will change. And, no, it's hard. It really is. And so the response of the industry, and I think partly it's because technology finally caught up with the promises. The iPad, I think, is a computer Apple always wanted to make from day one, something for the rest of us that anybody could use. The Chromebook, I think, is a fairly good choice with a little more capability and a built-in keyboard. A lot of students are using those, and I think that's a good choice. But really, a Windows 8 desktop computer or an Inspiron, wow. Unless you're willing to put some serious time into studying how to use that thing, maybe even take some classes, that's tough. That's tough. You need an appliance, is what you need, an information appliance. 8888 Ask Leo. If you disagree, you know, here's what you do. You go to the website, techguylabs.com, techguylabs.com, and each show is there. It's free. You don't have to sign up for anything. You don't have to pay anything. It's just free, and it's all there. And what I would suggest is you go to this show. This is episode 1079. And in fact, by now, her question is already up there on the webpage, and you can just leave a comment. Log in and leave a comment and say, Leo, you're wrong. Maybe you've got a suggestion for her. I think at this point, you know, since she's already bought the thing, she needs to go to Office Depot and get them to fix it, basically. All right. Alan is on the line from Honolulu. Hi, Alan.
Well, aloha, Leo.
Aloha.
So, talk about being sold a bill of goods. I have a Sharp Aquos TV.
Okay.
And it's one of the big 80-inch ones I got from Costco, and it has one of the features I love is it has the built-in Netflix, you know, app to use.
Yeah.
But, frankly, I think it works terribly. Every time I try and load a movie, it says loading, 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 and it says...
You know what? You know, all the TVs now have either Ethernet or Wi-Fi connections and have built-in apps. Samsung does it. Vizio does it. Sharp, your manufacturer, does it. Everybody does it. And in almost every case, they're not that good. The apps are not that good.
And so that's my question. And what's strange is that if I use my laptop, which is plugged into the same wired connection, I never have that type of issue. So my question is, after spending $3,000 on this TV, am I really going to have to go out and buy myself a Roku box?
I do. It's only $99. Roku's great. So these third-party set-top boxes were originally created to give TVs that didn't have internet access. You know, the Roku box connects to your internet and then via an HDMI cable to your TV. But that's actually a good way to do it for a couple of reasons. First of all, this is Roku's business. The apps on TVs are an afterthought in every regard. They just don't work well. I have tried them all. I've been looking. Vizio's pretty good of all of them, but for instance, the Wi-Fi. You're using Wi-Fi in that TV?
No, hardwired.
And it's still slow?
It's not that it's slow. It's that it sometimes loads, sometimes it doesn't. Yeah. It's really unreliable.
Yeah, it's unreliable because they don't put a fast processor in it. There's not. I mean, the guy who's writing the firmware for Sharp is probably in a closet somewhere. You know, it's one guy. I am. You have my stapler. So he's not. Roku, this is all they do. They put all their energy into it. Another good choice is an Apple TV. They, in fact, give you the best Netflix because Apple serves the Netflix video from their own content distribution network. They take it from Netflix and then serve it to you.
Well, that was going to be my next question. If I'm going to be buying one of these, am I going to get a Roku? Am I going to get an Apple TV? Or am I going to get, the Amazon one?
Amazon or Chromecast, which is only $35. Now, the nice thing about Chromecast is you fire up Netflix on your smartphone. You find what you want. You do all that stuff on the smartphone, which is worlds better. You should try it. And then, instead of playing it on your smartphone, you tap the Chromecast button. You say, send that to my TV. And that works great. And that's only $35. It all depends on what you want to do. If you buy stuff on the iTunes store, then you have to use an Apple TV. If there's things you can only do with a Roku box, but one of which is you can't do iTunes on it. But everything else you can do. So
I'm such a Windows guy. I'm not a big iTunes guy. So that really is.
Don't get the Apple. Then don't get the Apple TV.
Okay.
I think Roku is phenomenal. I would get the Roku 3. One of the things it has its own remote control. Good news, another remote control. But that has an ear headphone jack. So you can actually sit with the remote and the headphones, which are wireless, and watch your TV on the Roku. I think that's kind of useful.
Of course, that does defeat the 7.1.
Yeah, but sometimes...
Which is the next question is, does it have...
It supports Dolby Surround,
okay.
Yep.
Okay.
So it'll do the decoding you need to do. I personally have all of them, and I like Roku a lot. I think Roku's a great choice. If you want to save money, try the Chromecast. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. It has Dolby. It does indeed have Dolby. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk about computers, the internet, home theater, cell phones. If you were tuning in for Scott Wilkinson, I didn't mention he's taking the day off. He's got some tuba playing. You got some tuba playing to do. But he'll be back next week, our home theater guru. Questions? You want to talk tech? You can call me, 8888. Ask Leo. You can also visit our webpage, techguylabs.com. Follow me on Twitter, at Leo Laporte, etc., etc., etc. So excited. After the show this afternoon, it's actually 4:30 Pacific, 7:30 Eastern time, we're going to stream a live performance from a group called Pomplamoose. You know who that is? Pomplamoose, you ever hear it? I know you're into the you're with up with the kids and all of that, Heather Hammond, Phone Ranger, and you know about Pomplamoose. You ever hear about them?
I can't say that I could tell you what type of music they play, but I have heard of the band.
Well, you know what? They're a YouTube sensation. That's why you've probably never heard of them.
And do you recall what that means in French?
It means grapefruit,
I believe.
Delicious. But they don't spell it the French style. It's Pomplamoose.
Right.
But they do such great work. I think they're fabulous. Anyway, they're going to come in. Jack Conte and Natalie Dawn, they actually do some interesting stuff on YouTube.
Rock stars right here?
Rock stars live in studio. Stick around. It'll be after the show. 4:30 Pacific, 7:30 Eastern, and then I'm going to interview them, because one of the things Jack's doing, which is kind of cool, they're touring, by the way, you know, like big-time rock tour, but one of the things Jack's doing that's really cool is he started a thing called Patreon, which allows groups and video guys and bloggers and podcasters to ask their fans to support them, and it's crowdsourcing people's pay. This is a little bit of their version of their mashup between Get Lucky and Happy, two of the big hits of this past few months. And their videos are quite amazing. So we'll visit with them later on this afternoon. I'll be asking about Patreon as well. They're kind of fun. 8888 Ask Leo. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. If you have a question, a comment, a suggestion, techguylabs.com is the website. The live videos and audio from the show are there after the fact. You can even watch live now at live.twit.tv. On we go. Cheryl in Lakewood, California. Hi, Cheryl. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm okay. I just got kind of a dilemma that I just can't seem to figure out for myself. I thought you might be able to help me.
Okay.
All right. We, about 8 months ago, we stopped our cable, and we also stopped our home phone, and we just have cell phones. And we
You're with it. You're hip. You're happening. This is what all the kids are doing now.
Well, it's hard to do with a family of four, though.
Ooh, I bet your kids aren't thrilled.
Well, what we have is we have DSL with an external router,
okay.
And we have, at any one time, three phones, three laptops, a Wii and a Roku.
Yeah.
They don't work.
No.
I'm trying to get just internet, and I can't find it. Everybody wants to send me a bundle or have me do something at our home, and I just want fast internet so that we can use all these devices when we want to.
Well, just say no to the bundle.
I have for
and they
8 months.
And then they say, "Well, goodbye. I'm not talking to you."
Correct. They want to. They you know it costs more to buy just internet than to buy a bundle.
Well, yes, it costs more, but they don't say goodbye. They say, "Okay, but it's going to cost you $10 more."
No, it's like, you know, we can buy a bundle for like $84 or $79, but it costs that much just for straight internet.
Right.
There is no internet that you can buy like I have DSL.
Okay, here's the problem. You could thank the FCC for this lovely situation. They've set up basically a duopoly in this country. In some cases, in many areas, it's a monopoly. There are two companies, and only two, who have access to about 90% of all the people in this country. One is the cable company, whoever your local cable company is, and that's a monopoly in your region. And then the other is the phone company. Those two companies have copper in your house. The third option is through the air, which I just don't recommend because there's so many bandwidth caps on it. Satellite internet really isn't a good option. So your two options are DSL or cable. And that the FCC set that one up. Now, they did require a few years ago phone companies to let other companies use the phone DSL line. So there is competition on DSL. But as you've experienced, DSL isn't super fast, and that's mostly...
Not at all.
Yeah, the farther you are from the central office, the phone office, the worse it is. It's very, very distance dependent. So I'm guessing you're probably more than a kilometer or two from the central office, and that means very slow at DSL. So you should
very slow. It buffers a lot.
Yeah, you can contact them and say, "Do you have a higher tier?" But I think what they'll probably say is, "We do, but you won't be able to benefit because you're so distant." So for people who are distant from the central, are you live in near town, or are you kind of a little bit out of town?
No, we're in Lakewood, which is outside of L.A.
Well, but the question is where your nearest phone central office is. And if it's more than 2 kilometers, DSL is just not going to be great. That's a little more than a mile, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. So cable should be very fast, but as you've already discovered, if you call your local cable, who's the cable company in your area?
Time Warner.
Lovely company. Just
Time Warner or Verizon. That's the two that we have.
Yeah, that's – thank you, FCC. And the reason they did that is, well, it's so expensive to dig a trench into somebody's home. We're going to give those companies monopolies. But you know what? They've paid back their trenching. They've made their money back. That's why companies like Verizon are – you don't have Fios in your neighborhood, do you?
They keep sending us flyers telling us to sign up with them, so I think we do.
If you have Fios, that would be your best bet. Now, that's from your phone company, but it's not over the copper. They actually will put, fiber. If you call them and see if they have it. That will be much faster and fairly affordable for the price. But America, the United States of America, where the internet was born, ranks fairly low in terms of cost and speed of internet. We have among the worst internet in the developed world. And there's a couple of reasons. One, because it was invented here, so that's often the case that because, we have a lot of old equipment. But the other one, I think you can really blame the federal government, who gave monopolies to these companies. And because there's a monopoly, they can say to you, well, we'll do it, but it's going to cost you. Because where else are you going to go? Where else are you going to go? There's no choice, and they know it. So welcome to everybody needs to write the Federal Communications Commission and say, hands off, get on. It's time to fix this problem that you created. This is a problem they created. Now, well, how do I solve your problem? I think you're going to forget DSL because you're too far from the central office. So you should call Time Warner and see what they would charge you for just internet, no TV. It will probably be not much. It'd probably be about the same as TV plus internet.
Right.
And they do that on purpose because they don't want to become is an internet service provider. They want to sell you HBO and all those premium networks. They want to get your bill up over $100. That's their sole and utter purpose in life.
I can get that through Roku if I want.
Isn't that interesting? Watch. Yeah.
Yeah.
They know that. That scares the heck out of them. Because, if they're just selling you dumb bits, If it's just a pipe, then they can't charge you as much. And that's, by the way, another thing the FCC is about to do, which is allow them to turn your internet plan into something like your cable plan. Where, oh, you want a Roku? Well, that's going to cost you $10 more. Oh, you want to get AOL? Oh, well, that's going to cost you $10 more. Oh, you want to watch YouTube? That's going to cost you. They're about to do that.
Oh, my.
Yeah, and the FCC is saying, go walk right in. Because you know who runs the FCC? Former chairman of the National Cable Television Association, Tom Wheeler. So, hang on, because I'm going to give you a suggestion when we come back. We got to take a break. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. And you wonder why we're fighting so hard against net neutrality. You're already seeing this. These companies are rapacious. And it is totally because of the influence of money in politics, which is sad. And the only way to counter that is to vote, is to get involved. Because why do they want money? So that they can buy ads, so that they can convince you to vote for whoever they want. The FCC is basically a mouthpiece. The real problem is the revolving door for the FCC. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, bemoaning the state of internet in this country. We've really got to do something about it. We've got to fight for this. This is terrible. And really, I mean, it all comes down to the influence of money in politics and the fact that these companies, these massive monopolies like Ma Bell, Verizon, Comcast, Time Warner, AT&T, they wield so much power because they spend so much money on our members of Congress. And, we've got the best Congress money can buy. And I suppose president, too, because after all, it's the president that appoints the commission, the Federal Communications Commission. In this case, President Obama appointed Tom Wheeler, who was a shill for the cable and the phone industries. He's in the Hall of Fame for the cable industry and the wireless industry. This man has no shame. He will. It's a revolving door there. He will get a job when he leaves, just as the former chairman of the FCC, Michael Powell, who currently runs the National Cable Television Association. Cush job. I'm sure it comes in a nice car. Lots of cash. And that's what happens. So these guys are owned by the industry they're supposed to regulate. And the result is we have a terrible situation on our internet. And it's only going to get worse because Chairman Wheeler has now proposed rules that allow companies like Verizon, Comcast, Time Warner, AT&T to charge companies like YouTube, like my internet company, for access to their customers. So Time Warner or Comcast, soon to be, by the way, merged because there'll be no opposition from a government that's owned by Comcast, which will make it the largest internet service provider and cable company in America, which means they will become even more greedy and rapacious. Comcast can come to YouTube and say, it would be very nice, wouldn't it, if your customers could get to our customers without any buffering, wouldn't it? For a small fee, we could arrange that. Otherwise, well, we can't guarantee good service. They're going to charge at both ends. It's not the America. People say, well, it's the American way. No. No. It is not the internet, the beauty, the power, the reason the internet has been a transformative power in this country is because anybody can get online and can create a blog, can create videos, podcasts, can publish, create, and reach a global audience for very little money, as long as that audience all subscribes to the internet. It all works beautifully, and those companies make plenty of money. They just want more. What the cable companies would love is to tier your internet access just like they do cable access. We'll give you basic internet access, but if you want access to Yahoo, well, that's going to cost you. They charge us. They charge Yahoo. The problem is, as Elizabeth Warren from Massachusetts said, Senator Warren's proven to be very astute and right on this. I guess she wasn't bought and paid for by Comcast. Just give her time. As she has said, look, I don't know who the next big innovator in this nation is going to be, who the next great companies, the great next great inventions are going to be, but I can pretty much be sure one thing, they're going to come in on the internet. You want to kill innovation in this country, you could let Comcast charge people for access to its customers. That's it. Over. All the big companies can do that. Yahoo and Google can do that. YouTube can do that. Little companies starting up, like mine, forget it. If they come to me and say, you know, because I have a podcast network, right? If you would like to reach our customers without buffering, it'll only cost you a buck a head. It's cheap. At which point I'll say, yeah, but I'm just a startup. I'm so sorry to hear that, Mr. LaPorte. Well, good luck to you. I hope you survive next year. This is not what we want, but this is what we're going to get if we don't stand up. And you know, email the FCC, write to your member of Congress, say, look, I know they're giving you lots of money, but what are they doing? What are you doing with that money? You're buying ads so that we'll vote for you? Well, guess what? They ain't going to work. We aren't going to vote for you because ultimately it's about the vote. That's the power. The only reason this works is because we as the voters have stood aside and said, oh, that's too complicated. I'll just vote for the guy who looks the best on the ads. Oh, that other person's bad. I saw the ad. If you let that sway your vote, then it's over. But that's the beauty of the internet. If you can find out about people, you can learn about their positions. You can decide who is bought and paid for by the cable industry or the telcos and who isn't, and vote for the people who aren't. And you know what? If we started voting, if people just started voting, all that money would be worthless. It's really shameful. Now, Cheryl's problem. Back to Cheryl's problem. What is she going to do? She's got a choice between, not much of a choice, a Hobson's choice between Verizon and Time Warner. Both terrible. Now, there may be some good news. If you have Fios, that's going to be the fastest option for you. Don't buy TV. Buy just the internet. Now, admittedly, you're not going to save much money, if any money. You know, the cable companies over the last few years, Time Warner's about to raise their cost of the internet $10. The cable companies of the last few years have been very clever. They've realized, oh, people are starting to get television on the internet. Well, we better charge more for the internet. And right now, in most areas, the cost of getting basic cable plus the internet is the same as just getting the internet. And that's what Cheryl was observing, because they charge you more if you just want the internet. Oh, that's bad for business. That's bad for America. You must be a commie just wanting the internet. We're going to charge you more. So what they do is they incent you into getting cable. And then it's just a matter of time before you, well, gosh, I sure would like to get HBO. Because you know what? You can't watch HBO. You can't watch HBO like HBO Go. You can't watch it with just the internet. You have to pay for a cable subscription. They ask. Yeah, sure. I'm sure HBO, which is owned by, oh, let's see, Time Warner. Oh, what a surprise. I'm sure HBO would love at some point to just go to customers directly and say, hey, $10 a month, you pay us directly. We take out the middleman. You can watch it on any device. You can use your Roku or whatever. But that's not where it is today. And, of course, Aereo is currently in the Supreme Court because the networks, television networks, have fought them because it allows you to watch TV without paying a cable company. That's not going to fly. It's hard not to get depressed. That's why we got to stand up and fight. That's why we got to stand up and fight. 8888 Ask Leo. Yeah, Time Warner owns HBO, which means if the Comcast merger goes through, Comcast will own NBC. They'll own Universal. They'll own HBO. You notice anything? You notice anything? Lisa in Downey, California, Leo LaPorte, the tech guy. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Leo. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, you know, I have a problem here. I listened to your advice. Well, first I got my computer, got some bugs, and I did a clean install. And then the computer started to do all this updating. was doing fine until lately I just noticed that every time I turn off the computer, it says installing, updating, and then every time it's the same thing. So this time I turn it on,
Hold on, we got to take a break. I think I can help you. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. You're right. Apologies, Time Warner Cable does not own HBO. Time Warner does. Yeah, I know, but I served on the telecom committee here in Petaluma, and I know how much, how can I say this in a family manner? How much courage local government has when it comes to a big corporation like Comcast, i.e. none. So I wouldn't count on your, I mean, you know, what you need to do is run for city council. And get your friends to run for city council. And then maybe local government will stand up to people like Comcast. But what I discovered is there's no point in being on the technology committee. You have to actually have a vote. You have to be on the council. There's Johnny.
How you doing?
JJ. How are you? How are you? How are you?
You're depressing me.
I know. I know. But, you know, the truth is depressing. That's why I don't talk about it much.
Man.
Not depressing, energizing. We should be marching in the street.
Let's get out there and fight, fight, fight.
Well, I think you should put links on your blog to all these things and make it easy for everybody because, you know what?
Absolutely.
Because, you know what? I don't think people are going to take the time to do the searching.
It's Save Our Internet.
And tweet it out.
Yeah, I will.
I've done some social media around it recently.
And I'll retweet it and start getting others to do it.
I think last weekend you were saying, write to your member of Congress.
That's
and
certainly
I'm like,
a good one.
I really have to do that. They pay attention to that stuff. And it would be really embarrassing, I think, especially in California, you know, for our people not to act on our wishes. Since we're so close to Silicon Valley. No?
Yes. I agree. SaveTheInternet.com. SaveTheInternet.com.
And it'll, like you've said, it'll punch the small businessman in the gut.
Oh, yeah. It's very bad.
I mean...
It's bad for the country. It's bad for the country. It's very bad. Tom Wheeler publishes this blog post saying, oh no, it's all fine. it's the big lie. It's like, well, you know, if you're going to do this, really go big, because people will say, well, he couldn't possibly be lying.
Ugh, so House of Cards.
It's very House of Cards, because we want to trust people.
You know what? Let's get a bunch of money together and pay Kevin Spacey to do an ad.
Oh, he would do it. You know what? In fact, he's been big on this. In fact, that's a good excuse to get Kevin on, actually.
He could do some weird, surreal, futuristic thing where none of us have a voice because the internet went away from us.
Right. I think this would be a good time to tell you a little bit about Full Sail. Shh. I'm talking here. Full Sail College. Full Sail University, fullsail.edu. Let's go there right now. Actually, go to fullsail.edu/tech guy. We're talking about higher education. Wouldn't it be great if you could get a master's degree in a year in innovation or entrepreneurship while you're working? That's what we're talking about here. Full Sail, they offer both online and campus-based degree programs, real-world experience in entertainment, media, technology, chance for you to learn the skills you need to create your own business, to market a new product, they even have topics like the ideation process, product design and development, financial strategies. And the thing is, these aren't just professors. These are industry experienced instructors who are teaching you. So you're learning the stuff that from real world experience. And I think that's so important. Real world education. You'll graduate with a fully formed business strategy and the tools you need to pitch your product or service to potential visitors. I want you to visit Full Sail right now, fullsail.edu/tech guy, And you'll learn more about their master's degree in innovation and entrepreneurship or any of their related programs. They have business intelligence. That's a, boy, that's a skill. If you knew how to use business intelligence, you would be the king of the world. That's a skill you could walk out and get a job today. Internet marketing, same thing. Huge demand. PR, public relations. Big data is big right now. You learn how to explore big data, I think you'd have a job for life. Full Sail University, fullsail.edu/tech guy for more information. Johnny Jett, our travel guru, coming up in just a second, but I wanted to finish up with the Lisa and Downey. She says every time she turns on a computer, more updates, more updates. Lisa, if you try just letting it update and rebooting as many times until sometimes it does, if you like restored the computer from scratch, it may take a few updates, like quite a few, to get it back to the fully patched situation.
Yes, it's updating, but then I noticed I looked at the history and there were just the two of them. Every time I tried to update and it says failed. So those are And okay. Those are two failed. I don't know. It might be one is something service pack one for 2008.
Yeah.
And the other is for 32-bit, maybe mine is 64-bit. It doesn't.
So, okay, here's what you need to do. You need to go to the store. You're in Windows 8, so you need to go to Windows 8.
I mean, actually, Windows 7.
Oh, you're in 7.
Yeah.
Okay, that's different. I'm glad you said that because I was about to give you advice that would be completely useless to you. So sometimes Windows Update fails. It gets blocked. And if you have a failed update, then you're going to get exactly what you're getting, which is it's going to keep trying to update because it's important to do those updates. But it can't get past the failed one.
Okay.
So this is a bit of a problem. And it's a little bit complicated. Microsoft does have a page devoted to this. Blocked updates, and there are several things that you can do to unblock them to get it to start.
I checked their help page, and then there was something download, and then it says you don't have the permission from administrator or something.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad to hear you're running as a limited user. That's lovely.
Yeah, I followed your advice.
Smart. That's why it's failing. So now what you need to do, this is what's going on. You need to log into your administrator account. You have one, I hope. Okay.
I did that, but it doesn't. Well, actually, that did help because it before was like a 4 failed. So
right.
When I went to the administrator.
This is one drawback to being a limited user is things like Windows Update. You have to log in as an administrator to perform those. So go back to log in as the administrator and you're not going to do anything else. You're just going to get your Windows going. I'm going to put in the show notes at Tech Guy Labs the Microsoft support document. But you could also just search for Windows Update not working. And they have a little fix-it. Now, you have to be the administrator to run this fix-it. So you click the button, run now. What it's going to do is go through and resolve failed internet updates. Okay? And then if all goes well with that, then you can run the update. Can stay in the administrator mode and run the update and finish it.
I actually did that at the something fixed the problem with the Microsoft Windows update, and I was on the administrator sign-in user, but it still says you don't have the permission. Something
okay.
Wouldn't let me do.
Okay,
it's just those two. All the others actually, it's updating. Yesterday, it's updating. It says there's a number. There's three important updating.
Yeah,
and it updated one. Left the. The other two.
Okay.
I'm
well,
just wondering, maybe those two, I don't need it.
Do you know offhand if you're on a 32-bit or a 64-bit version?
It's just 64.
Oh, good. Okay. That's good.
Yeah. So the 32-bit wouldn't update. And then
that's normal. You won't get those 32-bit updates. They won't be necessary.
Okay. And then the Service Pack 1 2008 doesn't update.
Yeah, that's what you really want. Nothing's going to go on until you do that.
So but it updated the Service Pack 1 2010. So I was wondering, maybe I don't need that one.
Yeah. Yeah, only do the critical updates. Don't do the optional updates.
And yeah,
if you need all the critical updates, and it should be smart. sounds like Windows Update is not acting very smart. It should know enough not to try to update to things that you don't need. Make sure you get the, you know, it's one of these, I think, is an Office service pack.
Something like that.
Yeah, yeah. That's different. So you run Office as a different updater. So you run that Office updater.
Okay. It did the 64 one.
I think you should be okay. It shouldn't ask for updates, though, it doesn't need. And that's the only thing that worries me.
Okay.
As administrator. Yeah, check it off. Do it as administrator and make sure you have all the critical updates for a 64-bit version of Windows.
Okay.
Do them one at a time.
All right.
And I think you'd probably be all right.
Yeah, I did. You know, I followed your advice. Got rid of the cannot get rid of that Internet Explorer, but I used the Chrome.
Good.
And
I think you're doing okay. I'm not sure why it's blocked, but log in as administrator and try to clear all those blocked updates. I think that's probably sufficient. And if you can't, then you might want to bring it to a shop where you. The problem is finding a good person is so hard. I know. It's just hard for me from a distance. I can't look at the system to see exactly what's going on, what you're getting, what you're not getting. Hey, Johnny Jett is looking out the window. Hey. How's the weather, Johnny? Where are you today?
I'm in Toronto, and it's gray and a little bit rainy, but I'm getting on a plane in a few hours. So
coming back to Southern California, or where are you going?
Secret, but I'm not going to California.
Oh, this man, he travels all the time. Johnny's an internet travel expert. He helps us use the internet to save money on travel. His website, johnnyjett.com. That's his Twitter handle, too, @JohnnyJett. What do you got for us today, John?
So next week, this week, some big news for TSA PreCheck. They expanded to international airlines.
Ah.
And Air Canada was actually the first one. And I happened to be flying Air Canada that day. But unfortunately, I didn't learn about it until that morning.
Because you're TSA Pre. You paid the $80 for 3 years and you've got it.
Well, the secret is actually to get the cheaper deal is to get a Nexus if you go to Canada at all. And it's only cost $50. And that way you get global entry and you get TSA PreCheck. But it's good for 5 years. Either way, it's worth it because you can zip through the lines usually, although TSA PreCheck lately has not been great. You know, the secret has been let out, but it's in 115 airports nationwide, and now Air Canada has it in 40.
I got it again twice now out of the last four flights. I've got TSA Pre. They just go, "You, sir, you go this line." And you don't have to take off your shoes, you don't have to take out your laptop.
That's my problem with it, but anyway,
it seems like when the lines get full in the other ones, they start putting people through pre.
Oh, they do that.
Now, how do they pick you? Do they look at you and go, "You don't look like a terrorist. You can go."
Well, it's usually people over 70, which obviously you are not.
You look like, maybe they go, "You look like you're over 70, sir."
No, they also have your history of how much you fly, so they can get a pretty good idea.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think he just looked at me. He wasn't looking at the ticket or anything. He said, "Just go here." I think they were just evening
scan at first.
They scanned it. They let me in, and they said, "Why don't you go over here?" It was a different guy.
That's a problem.
I think it's just no. You know what it is? They're finally admitting this doesn't do anything. It's a lot of it's theater.
A lot of it's theater.
It's to scare a terrorist because you never know if you're a bad guy where you're going to end up. Maybe you're going to get caught. So this is the whole point. It's just in case, because they still do the random checks at the gate. You know where you just get searched. They still do a lot of stuff.
They don't search too much at gates anymore.
Really?
I haven't seen.
I saw that happen the other day. I did not see that. Feeling a person up. I mean, they went through everything, all of her bags. They touched her everywhere.
They did it internationally a lot of times.
This was a flight. No, this wasn't an international flight. This was to San Diego. Okay. I think that's still in the United States.
Speaking of airports, I know that before we go, avoid Newark Airport this summer. So, because right now they're doing a lot of construction. They closed the air train, the train to get there. So the public transportation is a nightmare.
That's my secret to go to New York. You go to Newark. It's easy.
No. Not until at least July 15th. Because they're also working on one of the runways. So I have friends who have been, sitting on the runway for 2.5 hours before they fly to Europe.
Johnny, can you hang on for a minute more? I want to get an app of the week from you. Johnny Jett, our travel guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Da, 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 da. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo is the number. We'll continue with your calls in a minute. But first, Johnny Jett, because we got so had so much fun talking that I didn't get your website of the week and your app of the week. So what do you got for us, Johnny?
All right. So for the app, it's called Sign Easy, SignEasy.
Okay.
So it was actually a travel blogger, a friend of mine, who created it, or was one of the guys who created it. It's a pretty big app now. So what it does, it makes it really easy for you to sign documents while you're traveling on the road.
Legally, digitally sign documents?
Supposedly.
Wow. I like this idea.
So, I mean, it's genius because so many times I'm traveling overseas and people are like, I need you to sign this contract or whatever it is. And I'm like, listen, first of all, for me to find a printer, it's either going to take me a lot of time or cost me a lot of money. And I don't want to spend the time scanning, photographing or signing and all that stuff. So I think
now you do pay per document, I guess, right?
There is a fee on this one.
$30 a year for up to 50 documents a month. That's a lot.
But,
I mean, come on.
But if you're a business traveler, it's worth it. If you're just a regular traveler, don't even bother. But unless you have a really important document to do,
this sounds good. So as long as it's accepted, that's the key, that these are accepted signatures. Every once in a while, I'll get something that says, no, you have to print this out, physically sign it, then fax it to us. Like, that's somehow magically going to prove my identity.
Right. My lawyer does that to me. Too.
Yeah. It's crazy. All right. Sign Easy. And that's online if you want to find out more at getsigneasy.com. And then it's on Android, iOS, and BlackBerry.
That's right.
Website.
All right. So, virtualpostmail.com. Have you heard of it?
No.
Virtual Post Mail. So, it's this is great for people who travel a lot. So what you do, they charge about $5 a month. I think it starts at that. And you set up, you have your mail redirected, your physical mail, your snail mail.
Oh, I used to do this with my bills. I used to send my bills to a South Dakota where prisoners would type it in.
Are you serious?
I think it was prisoners, federal prisoners, would type it in, and then I would get it online and I could pay it. It's called PayTrust. I think they're still around, actually.
Okay, I got to look at that one. That's
but this one's not just bills. This is everything.
No, this is mail. So you can see, you can look through and you can sort it. You can say, okay, send me that box or throw away that flyer or whatever it is. And you can also deposit your checks this way. So if you get checks in the mail, you can set up, I think it costs more, but they can also deposit your checks.
Oh,
as well.
I like this. How much?
Well, they start at $5 a month. It all depends on what you're going to get.
On how much mail?
It's called how much mail and what you're going to do. If you're going to have them deposit checks and stuff like that, it's going to cost more.
There was a service like this that has basically shuttered because the postmaster said, no.
Well, the postmaster should be doing this. This is what the postmaster should be offering.
I'll find the article and read you the story because it's just an amazing story. But what they were doing is you would fill out a forwarding request, so you wouldn't have to change the address. It would come to you and then get forwarded to this company, which would do the same thing, scan it in, let you choose which mail would be delivered, which thrown away. And the postmaster said, you don't understand. Our customers, the United States Postmaster General said, you don't understand. Our customers are not the users. Our customers are about the 400 direct mail companies who want their mail in your mailbox. And they said, we're not going to do it. We won't let you forward. So that's why this company's smart, because that you tell the sender to send it to them, this new address, right? Yeah.
Correct. Yeah.
I'm going to check it out. It's called Virtual Postmail.
Postmail.com.
And for a traveler, if you're going on a long journey, then the mail doesn't pile up at your doorstep. You can see what you missed, what you got. You can even get checks deposited. I think that's a great idea.
It's brilliant.
Of course, the post office
should really do it. They'd make some money instead of losing money.
Unbelievable. JohnnyJet.com. That's the website. If you want to know more, JohnnyJet.com. Here's the article. It's from the San Francisco Examiner. Postmaster General, the American citizens are not our customers. This was a great article. I'll tell you more about it a little bit later.
You should tweet that.
Yeah. Actually, I think it was Tim O'Reilly who tweeted the original story, and that's how I found out about it. Yeah, just shocking. It was a company called Outbox, and they're basically out of business because the Postmaster General said, not with our mail, you don't. This is exactly what the post office should be doing.
Without a doubt. And my last tip for you, by the way, I'm looking. One more. San Francisco and L.A. has really good deals to San Juan, Puerto Rico. $346 round trip.
Round trip. Oh, man.
On United and Delta, and it's not till September through December. But, hey, and you got to buy by May 12th.
Okay. Old San Juan is an amazing place, beautiful place.
I'm going in a couple months, right. Or next month, I think.
And you're off to a mystery location?
Yes. So next week, actually, I'll be calling from a cruise ship.
Ooh. Gosh, what a life you have. Johnny Jett.
I'm taking my dad on a trip.
He travels for a living. And it's still fun, right?
Of course. Are you kidding me? I got the best job in the world.
It didn't take all the fun out of
it? No. Are you joking? I get to see the world every week.
Sometimes when you have to, you know, you do something fun for a living, it's not as fun.
No,
not,
it's always
not this
fun.
Case. All right. JohnnyJett.com. That's the website. Read all about it. He's got great travel tips there and joins us every week at this time to talk travel. Thank you, John.
Thank you. Have a great week.
Safe trip. Bon voyage. I wanted him to say, no, it's no fun. It's no fun anymore. All the fun's gone straight out of it. No such luck. 8888 Ask Leo. Alex, Los Angeles. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Alex.
Hello, Leo. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, thank you for calling.
Okay.
I'm sorry about the bad news.
Yes, my son is a little bit naive. Left the backpack open and went to the PE class, and when he came back, the iPhone was stolen.
It was an iPhone. Okay.
No, an iPad.
Oh, iPad. Okay.
Yeah. Now, the question is, you know, when you try to get to have access into the Apple device 10 times, it won't let you get in.
That's right. Right? If you turn on the PIN code, which I hope he had on, everybody who has an iPhone or iPad, turn it on. I know it's a pain, but did he have it turned on?
Yeah, he had a password on.
Excellent. Yeah. Then he's safe.
But whoever's in possession now, can it break into it?
No. They can use the iPad because they just wipe it out. They hook it up to a machine or they restore it. Now they can use it as if it came from, but they don't get access to his data, and that's the most important thing. Now, when he turns it, everybody who has an iPhone or iPad should do a couple of things. You should turn on this passcode. That's really important. And, you know, 4 digits is enough because after 10 tries, it wipes it, right? So even though 4 digits is only 10,000 possibilities, 9,999 possibilities, that's fine because you're not going to be able to guess it 4 times. Then also get Find My iPhone and put that on there. That'll allow you to wipe it to do an alarm and things like that. This is a good solution, I think. You're not going to get the iPad back, but at least they don't get your data. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Bump. So, yeah. Always have that passcode. And then put Find Your iPhone on there as well. Yeah, you can report a lost or stolen Apple product, but you're not going to get it back. You do know that, right? Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. 8888-ASK-LEO is the number. If you have a question, a comment, a suggestion, if you want to talk high-tech, boy, I'd love to talk high-tech with you. It's kind of what I like to do. So I'm lucky I can do this every week right here on this ferry station. And you are invited. 8888-ASK-LEO. You can also visit our website, techguylabs.com. Techguylabs.com. The website is free. There's no subscription fee or anything like that. And everything I mention, all the links, all the websites and so forth, they're all there. All the things Johnny Jett mentions, too. Naomi is in Denver, Colorado, our next caller. Hi, Naomi.
Hi, Leo. How are you doing?
Very well. How are you? I was in Denver last week this time.
I know you were up in Boulder.
I went up to Boulder.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah, it was great to see my son. It was really fun. And you live in a beautiful part of the country. It's really great. I love the Denver airport. You take the train out to the gates. They played some country. When it works, they play country music when it's about to leave.
Yeah!
Yeehaw!
We're coming just for the music.
What can I? Even the Austin airport doesn't do that. You know, that's good stuff.
Denver, Dallas, Fort Worth.
is different.
They have a little bit of a cowboy thing going there.
And that's another thing with the train. Yeah. I always feel like it's a kiddie ride.
Yeah. I have to say, though, that Denver Airport is massive, and it's in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
You take that Peña Highway, it just goes. It's like you're going, it's like I could be in, it's amazing.
I know. It's just out there and nowhere.
Out there.
It's 32 miles from Denver or something.
Can you believe that? Yeah, it's just incredible. What can I do for you today?
Hey, I'm looking to have a Wi-Fi security camera system, and I was wanting to know, one, do I need a bigger modem or a more powerful modem? And two, do I need an extender? And three, what is the best one that you can recommend?
So we have in the studio about 8 drop cams. That's one of these guys. And the nice thing about the drop cam is you just plug it in to the power, but you don't need to plug it into the internet because it uses Wi-Fi. What we didn't realize is how much Wi-Fi, because we have the high-def ones. And if you think about it, it's streaming a live high-def video to the internet. That's a lot of bandwidth. And 8 of them, pretty much, I mean, we had to get them their own router.
That's
so
what I thought.
Yeah, so how many are you going to put up?
Well, I we're just kind of looking at it and what we need to kind of budget through it, because I don't want to, because I got some old computers, you know me, fixing computers all the time.
I know you.
A lot of hard drives and some old computers, and I was wanting to know, too.
Oh, can you could do your own thing, yeah.
Can I run, yeah, so I don't have to pay any monthly fee for...
That's a great idea. Dropcam charges you monthly. You can use them for free, but if you want to go back and... One of the nice things about Dropcam is you can go back in time. So you're basically paying for storage. So it's kind of like having a remote DVR. A lot of security cameras and businesses, they just hook up to a hard drive, a DVR, and they just record it to that hard drive. But the Dropcam is somewhat simpler, although more expensive. So... you certainly could do this. You certainly could do this with a, if you've got old computers lying around. Just get an inexpensive camera. My suggestion is you probably don't want to do live streaming video. That really uses up bandwidth fast. And how often are you watching it, really?
I'm just saying, just when we're gone and things like that.
Yeah. So there are a number of cameras and systems that only take pictures when there's movement. Which would probably be fine. If there's nothing happening, who needs a picture of that? So that's something to look for if you can live with that. Linksys has a number of different choices, including a camera that we used to do advertisements for when they were independent, and then they got purchased by Linksys. So I don't know what they call it now. But there are a number of good choices. Foscam makes one. The idea is either these cameras only light up when you go look at them on the web or when there's movement. And they can even be programmed to email you if there's movement. And certainly, if you're going to set up your own computer, that's a simple thing to do. You don't need the camera outside. You just want to have it, like, watching the living room or something like that.
No, I want to have the outside because the kids have been letting the dog out, and the poor thing is 14 years old and senile and... wandering in the neighborhood.
Will you be there or will you be somewhere else?
Probably somewhere else at the time because I've been working, running around.
So it's important that you could go onto the web or your smartphone and look at the output of the camera.
Yeah, from our... Now, I'm talking about old computers, you know, like XP.
Yeah, well, that's fine. I mean, that's not a problem at all. In fact, that's a good use for XP, something very simple and straightforward. By doing something like that, you could just hook up any Logitech camera. And most of them have software that will allow you to do exactly this. Used to be very popular, a webcam software. Now, do be paying attention, because, for instance, the Foscams had a well-known bug. I think it was Foscam, that allowed anybody to see your camera. So don't point it toward the boudoir. Don't put one up in the John there. But, you know, if it's pointing to your backyard and your doggy, I think it's probably who cares if somebody could see it, right?
Yeah.
So you should be aware of that. When something's on the internet, there is a risk, you know, because you're broadcasting, basically.
Do they have any Halo cameras that are Wi-Fi?
Halo? What is that?
Well, it's the 360-degree.
Ah.
Ah.
That's a good question.
Because that one, then it would only probably take one or two of those and wouldn't suck
You'd
up the
You'd see everything,
bandwidth.
Wouldn't you? Yeah. Here's a system. This is from PalmVid, which is a website that specializes in this, PalmVid.com, chat room passed along. It's includes a bunch of cameras, like four or five cameras, a card for your PC, $187. It's
how much?
$187 for all four cameras.
Wow.
Yeah, and it goes right into a card that your PC, because you need the card to capture the video and record it, right? And then these are, you can get weatherproof cameras. You can get a variety of cameras on this. So
and,
this
you
is
know, a, save it off as a file or whatever, view it, and then delete it if nothing's
yeah,
on it.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're recording it locally and you can look at it, you know, remotely, which this does, this sounds like a good solution. Now, I haven't played with it, but the price is right. They're having a sale right now, $187.95, for the GeoVision DVR card surveillance system. I'm sorry, two cameras, but that's plenty. Now, about the Halo cameras, I don't know, but you know what? They'll have Halo cameras on here as well. This seems like a pretty complete site. Recommended by the chat room.
Okay.
All right? Yeah, don't want to do it over Wi-Fi. You probably want to hook it up to your computer and then have it set up so that you only see data when either there's movement or you ask for it. Because as soon as you know, if you're broadcasting all the time, that's a lot of video.
I just don't want to run the cables or the wires is the thing.
Right. Well, there are cameras that, like the DropCam, only require power. There's even cameras that are battery powered. The problem with those, of course, is that those definitely don't broadcast all the time. The battery would die instantly. So those have to broadcast only when you hit them or when there's movement. But the ones I wish I could remember the name. We used to advertise for them on the local station in Los Angeles. But those cameras were great because you could put them anywhere. I have them somewhere. You put them up anywhere, and they don't take any wires. They're all wireless.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a complicated and crowded category, and I would do some shopping around. There are a number of online sites that specialize in the View Zone. That's the name. Thank you, chat room. They're my brain, as you know, externalized. They got.
But you still have to run power to them, correct?
No, they're battery powered. They have indoor and outdoor. There's no cords at all. Now, you're going to have to change the battery every few months, but that's not so bad. And that simplifies. Netgear bought them. That's who bought them. Netgear bought them. That does simplify the whole process, though, considerably. No cords. VUEZONE. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Our show today brought to you by, not by lawyers, by LegalZoom.com. They're not a law firm. They are at great pains to say we are, although I think the founders were lawyers, and I think what they realized is no one really wants to spend those big bucks for stuff they could do themselves. Let's make it easy. Let's give them the forms they need, the questionnaires, the information they need to do their own work. And in a lot of cases, this is, in fact, that's how this LLC, this TWIT thing was created 8 years ago. $99 plus state filing fees. You don't need a law firm for this. Chapter S or C Corporation, you know, trademarking. I think a lot of people forget that, you know, if you have a brand, if you have a blog, if you've created a name for yourself or your business, you really need to trademark it to give it legal protection. I trademarked TWIT and the logo. It was less than $169. It's $169 now plus U.S. filing fees. I know the LLC was $99, so maybe the prices, you know, they haven't gone up in 8 years. Last will and testament. Do you have one? $69. LegalZoom's not a law firm, but if you do want help or advice from a law firm, they can help you with their legal services through independent attorneys registered in every state. You pre-negotiated flat rate. You can read the attorney's profile, their educational background, and unedited reviews from users, so you know what you're getting. Visit LegalZoom.com. Start your business. Protect your family. Get going. This stuff is easy. You'll be done in an hour. You'll be so, and you'll feel good about it. LegalZoom.com. Use the offer code TECHGUY on checkout, and you'll save $10. And that way, they'll know you heard about it on the radio show. LegalZoom.com. Use the offer code TECHGUY. Protect your family. Protect your business. Get advice from real attorneys. Look at all the stuff they do. I mean, if you just go to LegalZoom.com and take a look, I mean, a huge variety of stuff that you really can do yourself. Get your federal tax ID. We did that. We did all of this. It was so easy. LegalZoom.com. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number, 888-827-5536. You don't hear bagpipes as much anymore in rock and roll music, and I think that's sad. let's go to the phones. Rusty, Los Angeles. Hi, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo. How's it going?
It's going great, Rusty. How are you?
Doing all right. I want to follow up on your thing about the internet neutrality and what's been going on.
Yes. In fact, somebody pointed out I did not give out an email address. You're absolutely right. The FCC is asking for comment right now. And if you have an opinion one way or the other, openinternet@fcc.gov. Boy, that's about the easiest way that you could weigh in. At least do that. Openinternet@fcc.gov. So go ahead.
Okay. But my thing was, you were talking about already, they're targeting a lot of the entertainment industry, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Hulu, Netflix, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
I work in another side of entertainment. I make video games.
Oh, that's cool. You make video games.
Doing it 25 years.
Wow. Can you mention who you work for? Or maybe that's probably not a good idea.
Right now, I'm going to have to hold off.
Okay.
Some unannounced projects and whatnot.
Do you work on what kind of video games? Online games?
I work on games that both have like a single-player component. And they also, today, you got to have multiplayer.
You got to have multiplayer. Yeah, in fact, more and more, we're seeing games that only have multiplayer. They don't even bother with these single-player. See, I like the single-player because I'm terrible. I get online and try to play Call of Duty with those kids, and they just... And when I say kids, I mean 11-year-olds. They just blow me out of the water.
They have the time to build the skills.
That's right. I don't. I like games like Rise, where you can do both, are just really fun for me. But anyway, enough of that. What does this have to do with net neutrality?
Well, what it gets down to, okay, they're telling the various big players, well, you know, if you don't give us money or servers with us, you're going to have problems with net traffic.
Right.
For video games, it's not a little buffering and an annoyed. The game becomes unplayable.
The latency...
Yep.
Is so important in a video game. If you're turning a corner and there's a guy standing there, you need to react to that guy instantaneously. If there's even a second of lag, you're going to lose the game every single time. So half a second's enough.
The thing is, you have the big schedule, your actors, all that can afford to play that game.
Right.
But there are a ton of small independent developers.
Right.
That if we have to cut a deal with every major ISP, blah, blah, blah. And it's like,
right.
Well, we charge them, so we'll only charge
that's
them.
That's such a good point. You know, the Blizzards of the world, the big guys, the World of Warcraft guys, Microsoft's Azure servers, which were running Titanfall, those guys, of course, they can fork over the dough when Comcast comes a-calling. But what that means is, you won't see the little innovative independent games that require online access. You won't, or they'll have to merge with big companies. It's not what we want. It's not where innovation happens, frankly. That's a very good point. I didn't even think of that. Huge.
Yeah, that's billions of dollars a year that are getting flushed out of the economy, but these guys are breathing.
It's just shocking. Well, this is another reason to, you know, if you use the internet, you know, if you're at home on the internet, this does threaten you one way or the other. These new rules from the FCC threaten you. Whatever it is you like to do on the net, it means you'll see less innovation. You won't see small companies start up on the internet. That's bad for everybody. That's bad for not just the internet or internet users. It's bad for our economy. And we cannot let these big companies like Comcast and Verizon and AT&T act in their own interest to the detriment of the interests of the society that they're part of. And they will, unless we stop them, and email openinternet@fcc.gov and just say, please keep the internet free and open. I believe in net neutrality. That's all you have to say. I believe in net neutrality. Please, Chairman Wheeler, do not let the big companies overrun our internet. Now, he, unfortunately, Tom Wheeler, the chairman of the FCC, who's proposing these new internet rules, is in the back pockets of these guys, and he is completely willing to, and I don't know if this is his own ideological blindness or if he's just a liar, but on his own blog, you know, he writes, setting the internet straight on the FCC's open internet rules. He says, this isn't a change. This is good. This is wonderful. We love this. It's good for you. And it's not. And I don't know if he believes it or if he's lying because, he's lining his pockets. But you've got to email. The FCC has opened up a mailbox just for this. Let's flood it. Openinternet@fcc.gov. And just say, look, we want a free and open internet. Please do not let these big internet companies charge access fees. That's going to end it. Don't be fooled by the big lie. Rusty, I'm so glad you called. I didn't even think of this, but of course, that's a huge part of it, isn't it? The games you love won't work very well because a lot of the good ones can't afford to pay the piper. He says, Chairman Wheeler says, there's been a great deal of misinformation. I can almost, he should be, it's,
there's been a great deal of misinformation that has recently surfaced.
I'm sure he doesn't talk like that, but it seems like he should.
Regarding the draft open internet notice, it's my intention to conclude this proceeding and have enforceable rules by the end of the year.
I just see him with a big cigar, patting his big belly. He says, this isn't going to harm consumers. We wouldn't allow that. Incorrect reports. Except that everybody agrees that this is not true. He says, this is no change from our previous rules. Pay no attention. Go on with your little lives. We'll take care of it from here. Openinternet@fcc.gov. It's our internet, too. David in Nova Scotia, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, David.
Hi, how you doing, Leo?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I've also been, I just want a quick comment on your whole net neutrality thing. I think it stinks what they're doing to you guys down there.
You're in Canada. Your CRTC is just as corrupt.
They are. Oh, you're right. Oh, God. No.
They're worse in some ways.
Bell up here, I mean, I have fiber up, so it's the equivalent of, like, Fios. I have 175 down and 30 up. It's really cool. And for now, it works great. But, yeah, you're right. They're just as corrupt here.
Rogers, which is one of the big telcos, if not the biggest telco in Canada, has already been doing this. Skype never works for very long in Canada because Rogers doesn't want it to compete with their own telephone business. So they throttle it, and they admit it.
Oh, yeah, and they've been in court and sued over.
Horrible. Something.
You wouldn't believe it.
You want to know, people often say, well, you don't have to worry about net neutrality in the United States. There's no evidence these companies have would do this. When have they ever done that? Well, all you have to do is look at Canada.
Exactly. And, I mean, the thing is, if they do this, the FCC, it's going to affect us up here. Well, I mean,
everybody. It affects the world. Hey, hang on the line. I want to talk some more with you, but we've got to take a break. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
You pay no attention. You silly little people.
We are on fire. I like this.
Somebody
a
says,
lot.
You know, you should just say this is your opinion, This is not fact. No, it's fact.
Tom Wheeler's listening, apparently.
Oh yeah.
What's he going by in the chat room?
Yeah. He says, Leo, if you say that, you should preface it with in my opinion. His name, he says, is Diego Kidd. Yeah,
that's
sure,
him.
Tom. Sure, Tom Wheeler, that's you. We know it's you.
I mean, he's selling out the world for what? To line his pockets?
20 pieces of gold. It looks pretty good right about now, doesn't it?
How do you sleep at night?
Leo Laporte, the tech guy. We were talking with David in Nova Scotia. David, you had a question about your Sony Xperia?
I do. I have got a Z1 from the TELUS up here, not Rogers. But Google, when I updated to KitKat, Google apparently removed the ability to, the SD card is basically useless now because, anyway. And the only
this is, by the way, I should really mention this. When you upgrade to 4.4 KitKat, which many phones are doing now, they change permissions on the SD card, and it means that an application can no longer access a folder that it doesn't own. Now, this is the right thing to do from a security point of view, but it does break a lot of applications. If you have a file browser, you can't delete a file in any other folder, stuff like that.
Can't copy to it or anything. Right. It's basically useless.
Yeah.
So what I need is a good step-by-step, blow-by-blow guide so I don't brick my phone.
You want to root it.
Yes. Yeah.
And in fact, there is, they have done this now. They did it in January. So what happens is these phones come out, and depending on the manufacturer, see, Google says it's fine to root. What root means is being an administrative user on your phone. And Google says it's fine with Android. We don't do it by default because we don't want users to get in trouble accidentally deleting key files, things like that. But if you're sophisticated enough to know how to do it, we don't disapprove. We understand. It's your computer. Unfortunately, the manufacturers and carriers may not agree. So some of the manufacturers go to greater lengths than others. HTC, for instance, allows will unlock the bootloader. The bootloader is the thing that starts up, and if it's locked, then it's harder to root. You have to kind of get around it. But HTC, if you apply, say, I want to unlock it. In fact, they even sell developer editions of their phones. Sony, I don't know how Sony feels, but my guess is they're not super keen on the idea, just given how they operate in general. However, that you can root and run Clockwork Mod, which is the custom recovery from Koch that you need. At that point, you can put Cyanogen Mod or any other firmware on there. Actually, once you've rooted, you should be able to do anything you want with the SD card because now you're operating as an administrative user. So the place... Go ahead.
You
understand you can do it.
I want to be able to back everything up and then, my TA, the whole ball of wax, and then I then root it. Yeah.
So what you need to do is go to a forum called XDA Developers. That's xda-developers.com.
Right.
And almost any Android phone, the instructions for rooting are there and they are trustworthy. This is a fairly good place to go. It's where I go when I get a new phone to figure out how to root it. Search for your phone, and you want to get exactly the right model.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's because rooting will be different depending on the model. Once you get to XDA Developers, you can actually type in. Now, if you have the model number, and you can find that in About This Phone, I would use that model number because
it's the C6906.
Yeah, see, there'll be different models in Canada, the U.S., different carriers. So you want to get exactly the right model number. Search for that, and then they will give you a root procedure. In general, on phones, if they haven't done an awful lot to lock it, in general, it's a fairly simple process, although there are a number of steps, and you do want to adhere to them pretty closely. It usually requires, do you have a Windows or a Mac?
Windows 7.
Good. Much easier on Windows 7. Generally requires hooking up your phone to the USB port, downloading some drivers, copying a file over to the phone, rebooting
it. I've done it with a Samsung.
You're familiar with it.
But the Sony, I just want to be careful.
You should always be careful. And this is where I say the disclaimer. If you do this wrong, you can turn your phone into what we call a brick, which is basically something you could make a house with, but not something you can make phone calls with. So
that's right.
So don't do it unless you really are willing to take this on and you're willing to follow the instructions exactly as they are written. And in general, if you go to XDA Developers, anything you find there is going to be reliable. And just read the comments on it, and you'll see immediately whether it's worked for people and if there are any issues and so forth. And they have pretty much every model of phone in here. It's great.
Okay. Well, I just have one more question. It's totally off topic, and I'll go off air for this
one. Okay, sure.
I am looking for I want, because my provider won't give me one, but I want a static IP so that I can, you know, like
well,
there was one,
yeah.
myipaddress.com, and they won't do, I can't write MX records and stuff. So if you have a suggestion
yeah.
for that.
You have to get your ISP to sell it to you. There's no way to get a...
They won't.
Okay, well, then you need a new provider. If they don't give it to you, what that means, generally they don't change it very much. Your IP address is your unique one and only identifier on the internet. It's like your phone number. But, you know, your phone number, the phone company doesn't randomly change it. Your IP address, there's always the potential your internet service provider might randomly change it. And that they do that because then you can't run a server.
I know. And then, I mean, I've tried things like DNS exit and all that, but it's still.
Yeah, there's Dyn DNS, there's no IP, there's a number of these services. But what they don't do is give you a static IP address. What they do is update a database that says what your IP address is today.
Exactly.
Is yours changing a lot?
No, but I mean, I would like to run a couple of my own servers, but...
basically, in most cases, if you go to your ISP and say, I want a business account, they'll give you a static IP.
Yeah, they want to... like I said, I'm getting 175 down and 30 up, and I mean...
Wow.
I'll
take it.
It's awesome.
I'll take it.
Yeah, that's
great.
That's awesome.
That's great speed. But they probably... you know, business account's more expensive because they presume you're running a server.
Well, they'll cut me down to 30 to 50.
Oh,
and that's it for So I don't want to do. I don't want business.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to find another way, right?
But, yeah. Well, Dyn DNS. That's the way. That way, your IP address will change, but it's updated and people can find you.
Yeah. All right. Well,
it's
hey,
kind of funky. Kind of
so
funky,
much.
But it works. Yeah. Yeah. They don't want you to have one address. It's like as if you went to the phone company and said, I'd like a phone number, please. And they say, okay, because I'd like to accept incoming calls. Oh, you want a phone number that doesn't change. Yeah, I want to give my phone number to people so they can call me. Oh, well, we don't do that. Wait a minute. Wait, you're telling me my phone number may change at random intervals? Yes, because that way you can't give out your phone number. But I want people to call me. Oh, then you want a business class account. Yes. Yes, that'll cost you many more dollars. And, of course, there's a lot of restrictions on what you can do with a business class account. Polly in West Hartford, Connecticut. Hi, Polly. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. Thanks for taking this call.
My pleasure. Thanks for calling.
I am hoping that you can help point me in the right direction to get a laptop that runs Windows 8.1 with a screen that is not highly reflective. I was a long time, you know, Windows user since Windows 3.0, and then last year I got lured into the Macintosh world and got a MacBook Air, and it's too small. I needed a bigger screen. I wanted my old Windows back. So I switched, you know, went to the touchscreen, but it's so friggin' shiny. I can't even look at it.
Yeah, a lot of them are, and I think that has to do with the touchscreen capability. You can get screen protectors and, you know, shades, but I don't recommend that, especially since you want to continue to touch. Let me ask the chat room if they have a recommendation. Somebody's saying the Dell Latitude has a non-glare screen. I'll have to take a look for you, but we have to take a break right now. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Wait a minute. Don't eat that fattening sandwich. It's time for a Nature Box. This is Heather's favorite time on the show. Well, we open the new Nature Box. Let's see what Nature Box has provided us today. Nature Box is the home of healthy snacks delivered to your door. Go to naturebox.com/twit. And take a look. Oh, man, this stuff is good. There are people who say, please don't do another Nature Box ad. It's making me hungry. Well, that's kind of the idea. These are wholesome, delicious snacks delivered monthly to your door. Three different sizes. Get the 5 snack package. That's just going to wet your whistle. The 10 snack package. That's not going to deeply satisfy. I suggest you get the 20 full-size packages. Oh, man, and you're going to take half off, so it's going to be very affordable for your first box. Look at this. Whole wheat raspberry. Okay, you get to choose, Heather, one Nature Box treat. I shall give you a choice. Whole wheat raspberry figgy bars. These are very good. But don't... Santa Fe corn sticks. So that's for going from sweet to savory. By the way, when you plan your box, you could say, I only want sweet, I only want savory, I only want spicy, or give me a mix. All of these are no fructose, no high fructose corn syrup, no trans fats, no artificial anything, colors, flavors. They're all good for you. All nutritionist approved. How about pistachio power clusters? How about pistachio. Blueberry almond bites? Ooh, these are really good, by the way. Crispy almond and rice squares with blueberries. My mouth is watering, literally. That's kind of rude. See, are you a savory or a spicy or a sweet?
Uh-oh. Savory and spicy.
Sour cream and onion almonds?
Big Island pineapple rings.
How about pepper? Oh, see, peppery pistachios.
That's the one.
I'll throw it to you. Nature Box. This, you know what? This is the ballpark should have Nature Box. Forget the stuff they serve. You know, you get to the late afternoon at work and you go to the snack machine and you eat something terrible for you and you feel like you did afterwards for the rest of it. Go to Nature Box and get it delivered. Get your boss to get it delivered. We started doing that for the employees. Now we can't stop. There'll be a revolt. NatureBox.com/twit and take 50% off your first Nature Box when you use the offer code TWIT. Great, delicious, healthy snacks. You can even select by dietary needs. They have vegan, yes, gluten-free, yes, soy-free, lactose-free, nut-free, and non-GMO. You get to choose. Savory, sweet, or spicy. Zero trans fats, zero HFCs, nothing artificial. NatureBox.com/twit. It's snack time. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 to ask Leo. Polly was looking for a glare-free Windows 8.1 laptop. The problem is these touchscreens tend to be glary. And the reason is that a screen is normally glary. It's normally glass. And in order to make it not glary, they score it, basically. They put little fine lines across it so that the light doesn't reflect. Whoops. But that makes it less usable touch-wise, you know. So the trick is to find a... I think you might have to say, I'm going to forego touch, Polly. I'll get a touchless Windows 8 computer. They're usable. Windows 8, especially now with 8.1 and 8.1 Update 1, they're much more usable with mouse and keyboard. The Dell Latitudes was one suggestion, and certainly a good suggestion from our chat room. And I guess they have non-glare screen as an option. But I doubt they have touch non-glare screen. I think it's the touch that's going to kill you. Now, somebody's suggesting a Tech Armor matte finish screen protector, and you could certainly do that. But, you know, I'm not a fan of screen protectors. I think you're gonna have to go to... you're actually going to have to shop. Where can one go these days to look at computers? Not many places. If there's a Microsoft store near West Hartford, then I would go there. That'd be the best place to see a variety. Hey, look who's here. Speaking of glare.
Yeah.
He's giving me the look right now. Dick DiBartolo, Mad Magazine's maddest writer. And I guess we should hang our heads a little bit. A moment of silence for Al Feldstein. Is it Steen?
Al Feldstein.
Steen. Who passed away this week. But he was like 130 years old.
He got up there. He was 88. Pretty good.
And
he had left the magazine like 20 years ago or more.
Was he at one time part of the usual gang of idiots?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. He was the editor for, boy, maybe 28, 30 years.
Wow. Wow. So you worked under him or next to him?
Well, actually, I got hired when Al left. I was hired as creative consultant, and Nick Meglin and John Ficarra were hired after Al exited.
Ah.
But I certainly worked under him because he was the editor when I was sending in freelance stuff.
Well, there you go. Just a moment.
No, thank you. Thank you for that.
Silence for... One of the great magazines of all time. Still going strong. And Dick DiBartolo still writing for him every issue. You haven't missed an issue since the 60s?
The Stone Age. Yeah. My first two tablets were rejected, and every tablet paid for.
Dick usually joins us to talk gadgets. So you got one for us this week?
Yes. You know what? Asa had an event, a little spring event, introducing new product. And they are introducing something called the Switch 10, a notebook tablet. And it's kind of neat, Leo, because it has a magnetic connection. So you can take the keyboard, hold the keyboard, pull out the display, flip the display backwards, click it down again if you want to be doing a little presentation and having the screen facing the other person, or you can put it in tent form or just use it in laptop form. And it was fascinating to talk to the product manager, who said developing the exact amount of the magnets, the power of the magnets, is you don't want to lower the screen and have it snap down anywhere on the case. You have to make it so that it gets attracted right down into the slots that'll hold it properly. So there's no latching. You just slide it down, it locks in, and it's strong enough that you could then pick up the keyboard with the screen. Wow. And if you want to separate it, just lift it up from either edge and move it on out. It has the Atom quad-core processor, the new Bay Trail with the keyboard.
Ah, so this is a Windows RT.
It's Windows. It's full 8.1.
Is it fast?
And Leo, it's coming the end of May, early June, okay, for $379.
Wow. This reminds me of the Lenovo Yoga and, of course, Microsoft's own Surface tablets, but not at that price point. That's a very low price.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. 8 hours of battery life, aluminum case. It has some really nice features to it.
Well, what'd you think? Did you get to play with it a little bit?
I got to play with it. I like it a lot. And, SD card slot, so you can add memory to it. I think it's a nice alternative to Chromebooks, because you're running a full 8.1 Windows.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And those new Atom chips, don't suck up a lot of power. So I think they're going to do very well with it.
The Acer Switch 10.
Right.
10-inch.
10.1.
So it's like the size of an iPad.
Exactly.
It's kind of small.
Yeah. Yeah, it is smallish. It is smallish.
Funny, you don't look smallish.
Yeah. It's just my beard, my stash at that.
GizWiz.biz. You've heard of that before?
Yeah, and it's a new game.
Wait a minute. We've figured. Okay, so go to GizWiz, GizWiz.biz. That is Dick's website. And then check out the What the Heck Is It contest. He's got a new picture up there. I've just got to know, though, what was that pacifier?
You know what? 60 people got it right. It is a vegetable peeler that you slide on your finger and then can peel the vegetables. The blade is in the back.
That does not sound safe.
Yeah. But we don't care, because we were, the funny things were better. I think it's a Bluetooth speaker for the shower, a dog paw holder while you give him a manicure.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah.
Robot pacifier, Kim Kardashian's engagement ring.
I love that.
We like fun stuff like that.
All right. Well, now that means quite a few people got autographed copies of Mad Magazine.
36 of them.
12 for the best right answer, 24 for the best wrong answer. You can't say he's not fair, kids. There's a new picture at gizwiz.biz. This is pretty obvious what this is.
Yeah.
That is clearly the blade from a Play-Doh table saw, I believe.
Could be.
Yeah.
It could be.
That's
okay,
pretty
it's
obvious.
It's the whole item.
That's it. It's not a part of.
It's not part of. If you went out, you would just buy that as it is.
Huh. Yeah. I think it's an ice cube mold for people who like to scare their guests. No?
That's not bad.
No, all right.
I'll give you mad for that.
GizWiz.biz, that's the place to go find out more. Visit gizwiz.biz to get notes on all the products and gadgets Dick recommends. Now, I just in between, you know, a little show note here. GizFizz is right after the radio show. You got the word?
Yes, I did get the 15th menu. Right.
We keep changing the time. Yeah, I'm so sorry.
No, that's good. No, GizFizz, and then you're doing a very special triangulation.
I'm excited. At 4:30 Pacific, 4:30 p.m. Pacific, 7:30 Eastern time, a YouTube phenomenon called Pamplemousse. It's Jack Conti and Natalie Dawn. They are brilliant musicians, multi-instrumentalists. She's a great singer. Actually, he's pretty good himself. But they've come to fame on YouTube, and they are huge now. And they're going to come into studio, perform for us. We're going to talk to them. Wow. Yeah, so I'm very excited. So that's this afternoon, later this afternoon or evening, early evening on Twit. You can watch it live, live.twit.tv. All right, Dick, take care. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Have a great geek week. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. I'm Leo Laporte. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, the Tech Guy is just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows now on the Twit Netcast Network, and you'll find them all at twit.tv. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on MacBreak Weekly, iPad on iPad Today. You get your daily dose of tech news from Tech News Today and our weekly roundtable show, This Week in Tech. It's all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next time with another great Tech Guy podcast. Thanks for joining me. See you next time.